Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, we are live here in the studio with Stock Talk with Pedro in the building. We've taken a brief hiatus, but we are back live on the air. Hopefully you guys can hear us loud and clear. I got my co-host, the host of the show, Pedro Thomas. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I can. And hey, everybody, how we doing this evening? It's Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I hope everybody enjoyed their holiday. I know I did, as well as my wife's birthday. Big shout out to Tiffany Thomas on turning a year older yesterday on Thanksgiving. Madison, I love you tremendously. With that being said, we got a lot to talk about, DJ Innovator. It's been a minute since we've been on the airways, and now that we are, a lot has transpired. We got the crazy collapse of FTX, formerly known as Blockfolio. We have the questionable collapse of Kanye West, also known as Ye, and Kyrie Irving, great all-star NBA champion, playing in the NBA for the Brooklyn Nets. Of course, we don't own the rights, of course, to anything that we're saying. This show is brought to you by Madison Lane Brands, on behalf of P&T Multimedia Group and Publishing, LLC, formerly the Crypto Geek LLC. So with that being said, DJ Innovator, the crazy collapse of SBF and FTX, formerly known as Blockfolio, a lot's been going on in the news lately, in the tabloids, in regards to this young man. A lot of people are pegging him as a young version of Bernie Madoff. And if anybody on the out there listening is familiar with Bernie Madoff, Bernie Madoff was a stockbroker, also financial advisor, planner, what have you, that stole almost $250 million from his clients over a 15 to 20 year period. Unfortunately, Mr. Madoff was caught in the mid to late 90s, went through the court proceedings, was placed on federal home confinement from his $25 million mansion condominium in downtown Manhattan. But strangely enough, passed away shortly thereafter. And I mean, it's just been a mystery. Bernie Madoff was a mystery to a lot of people. And it seems as if FTX, the CEO, former CEO of FTX, SBF, has somewhat followed in his footsteps. A conglomerate that was once in 2021, barked to have about $300 billion in gross net worth. all of a sudden is no more. And it's towards the end of 2022. I'm just trying to think what was really going on. I know in the beginning I joined the FTX platform before it became FTX. It was Blockfolio at the time. And I was on the platform, had a couple of $1,000 invested in that platform. Thank God that majority of my money was withdrawn earlier this year and later part of last year in 2021. My wife and I did suffer a loss as a result of the collapse of FTX. We actually lost about $100 in revenue, which may not seem much to a lot of people, but I mean, it is somewhat significant. There's pretty much quite a bit I can do with $100. So with that being said, DJ Innovator, what's your outlook on this? Because I know at one point I was trying to get you onto the platform when I actually thought it was actually legitimate.
Well, yeah, let's talk about this whole thing. So just covering the bases, the FTX exchange collapsed, so to speak, filed for bankruptcy, and that whole nuance of them declaring bankruptcy, we then find out that billions, not millions, but billions of dollars are missing and unaccounted for. And this speaks to my hesitance with cryptocurrency, and also looking back at a lot of early adopters of cryptocurrency, not that it in itself is a bad thing, but the fact that it is so new, so unknown, that when I say new to a lot of people here in the U.S., not new as a, you know, monetization or you know, currency. It's not new, like, you know, came about yesterday, but new as in the last 5 years, it really became prevalent to a lot of people who, you know, started getting into the investing space. For me, I did not know enough. I didn't fully understand it. And to some degree, will honestly say I still don't understand it. And that was, you know, my hesitance with jumping on board the platform, because I saw a lot of, you know, folks pitching, pushing, pulling this new heralded form of currency, but I didn't understand the dynamics. You have a book that's out right now that people can purchase. Now, I want you to kind of go into that, to kind of explaining for people that don't know, because a lot of people are kind of seeing the headlines and they're like, okay, FTX, you know, for the non-investors in the space, really doesn't strike them or hit home, but it in itself is a headline. So a lot of people don't know, but you have a book. I want you to just kind of really, you know, go over the book, what's in the book, so that if people don't know, want to know, want to get clued in, they can kind of purchase the book and get a better idea, especially because it's at a bargain bin price here on Black Friday. They can get it. Let's put it out there right now.
Well, we got the book that you're speaking of. I am the author and writer, also publisher. The name of the book is My Haunted Tales of Crypto, Volume 1. And the reason that the book was named My Haunted Tales of Crypto is exactly what the title says, my personal haunted tales of crypto. During my journeys within cryptocurrency within the past 5 years, I broke down my journey and ups and downs and in terms of what the space spoke about, cryptocurrency, and how by it being unregulated at this time, the roller coaster ride that investors like myself and others take, we take risk, and that's the roller coaster ride. is that it is the ultimate risk because it has no regulation behind it. So my book breaks down the fundamental basics of how to get into cryptocurrency, basically from step one, as being a baby. You know, babies are born, infants, and then you go to the toddler years, then you move into that childhood, and then you go into your adolescent, which is your teenage years, and then you're grown as of 18 to 21. But with that being said, that's kind of what my book breaks down. You can get this book, again, My Haunted Tales of Crypto, Volume 1. You can get these books on the platform of Amazon.com. You can also get that at BarnesandNoble.com on behalf of Nook.com. So again, my book is available. Right now we have a Black Friday price. What used to be $10 or $9.99 is now coming in at $5.99. So again, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, where the book can be published, purchased at. And again, due to me putting the book together, I then wanted to prompt and start a podcast show. And so I created Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show on with yourself, DJ Innovator. And the purpose of this show is to use this platform on Blog Talk Radio to expose some of the ins and outs and what beginners don't seem to understand. Those individuals who are even on the fence and not even in the beginning stages yet. Okay. My book breaks down going to how to analyze different platforms, where trading platforms for cryptocurrency only. Okay. Again, people, for cryptocurrency, a platform that does not share stock shares and ETF shares for purchase. Okay. I'm just speaking of platforms that solely deal with cryptocurrency. For instance, Binance is a huge one. Okay. As a matter of fact, Binance is the top dog at this time. It was FTX at one point, and it's now Binance. Crypto.com is another big conglomerate. Coinbase is another huge conglomerate, but they are all facing turmoil and rough trials and tribulations because cryptocurrency, people, is not yet regulated. And so, again, it's basically coming in at your own risk. Transactions are public knowledge in cryptocurrency, though it is not regulated. And I know that sounds crazy. I know that may sound crazy. I know it sounds confusing and like a real head scratcher, but I'm very, very serious. The transactions are public record on an entity called a blockchain. Now, most people don't even realize, most people think there's only one or two blockchains that exist, but they're actually not. They're actually up to 400 different blockchains that are out here, okay? And what blockchains are, people, blockchains are basically where your data is stored, okay? So it's kind of like a storage unit for cryptocurrency data, all right, if that makes any sense. So again, where you can log on if you have access, okay? You can log on a tablet, computer, laptop, or even on your phone, even though I wouldn't necessarily, without security measures, go with the phone. But if you do, what you will see is blockchains are basically storage units of information, public information. So if you make a transaction, if you purchase, let's say for instance, to make this very simple to our listeners, DJ Innovator, if anyone purchased Bitcoin for any price, let's just say if they spent $20 or $25 and purchased Bitcoin, then on the Bitcoin blockchain, your transaction is public record. And because of this, and because it's not regulated, anybody can get access to that and go on and look at when your transaction purchase was made. Now, it doesn't have your name, anything like that. There are serial numbers, okay, confirmation serial numbers that identify your purchase. And in my opinion, I think this is a major reason why you have so much computer theft. You have so many hackers hacking different people's storage wallets or going on different platforms and taking all of their money in cryptocurrency. And the reason being, in my opinion, is because things are not regulated and it is public knowledge of what you just purchased. So if someone purchases $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, oh, believe me, now, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, you are at risk for hackers beaming in on you like Scotty from Star Trek, like literally.
Yeah,
just so, making a beeline for you. Go ahead.
So here's my take, though. I don't want to get too caught up in it because we got a lot to cover and we don't have a lot of time to go into it all. So you went into the nuances. You went into the book. The book talks a lot about the nomenclature, the terminology, the coins, the verbiage that a lot of people that are on the fence that don't know about. I don't want to get lost too much into the back door behind the scenes, but I want to just kind of give folks that have just tuned in since we've been off the air an opportunity to kind of gauge what it is, what we're talking about, and get a better understanding. Because, a lot of folks were pushing cryptocurrency as the next big best thing. And to date, in my opinion, it is not that. It is not what it was represented as. And I say that strictly in the space of the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been stolen, wiped out of people's accounts, thefted. There's not enough fail safes in that space right now. And hey, that exists right now in the banking industry as well. So I don't want to, you know, jump on cryptocurrency's case because, you know, bad cop, good cop. But in my mindset, as well as what Pete was, you know, conveying is that, you know, for me, when I heard about cryptocurrency, it was just, hey, it's locked, it's tight, it's, you know, encrypted and it's safe. And we have found out in the last four collapses of exchanges and entities involved in the crypto space that it is not what it has been presented to people. So me, myself, I tell people, be very careful stepping into this space because first, it is not for the weak. It is not for the uninformed. And it is not for people to just, you know, jump in because you think it's a trend, because a lot of people are losing money as well as making money, but a lot of people are losing money. These coins, because of the theft of the, you know, exchanges collapsing, have lost a great deal of their value. Even the big daddy Bitcoin, which was what, 60,000-70,000 per coin not too long ago, maybe I'm a little bit high. Right?
Got it about 72,000.
Okay, yeah. But now, as of the last time I looked at it, it was maybe 15,000. That is an astronomical drop in the, and it may be a little bit more, but that's an astronomical drop for people that had heavily, heavily invested and, you know, don't have, you know, you got to have a strong stomach for this because that could be the make and break of some people who invest their, you know, their future, you know, thinking that, hey, I'm future proof, and they're investing their life savings. They're investing their 401k money. They're investing, you know, getting loans and buying coins. And so me, DJ Innovator, I'm saying be very cautious, educate yourself, you know, get in tune to this platform where, what we're trying to do is build financial literacy and educating folks, but also saying do your due diligence, do your educating, don't just follow the trend. Don't follow these folks that are, you know, fly-by-night millionaires that are telling you that this is it. Don't, you know, don't miss the, you know, ship, because, you know, as an uneducated person, once upon a time, I jumped, dumped money, and I can't say that I lost thousands, because I'm a very cautious investor, but I did lose hundreds. So that in itself made me dial back and start analyzing this a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to you on that.
I mean, well, you know, again, I mean, I got into cryptocurrency towards the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. And again, my experiences speak for themselves. I mean, I authored a book about it, about my experiences. I mean, and again, using the adjective of haunted, I mean, really speaks volumes, in my opinion. I had some really haunting experiences in dealing with a cryptocurrency when I first got started. And I just had to write about it. I had to write about it to the point where I published it on Barnes & Noble and on Amazon.com. I mean, again, you don't just do that just because. You know, people don't just write books every day, you know. So because that's not really a thing, especially with our culture, with the black, with black African-American culture, we're not really writers like that, like in the nuance, in the new age. We're more vocal about it instead of writing it down. And, you know, again, that's just my opinion. If that was the case, I think we have more books written by people of color. Unfortunately, we don't at this juncture, but I'm of the belief that that's going to change. So especially the way the world is moving right now in regards to finance, you know, the way the world is moving with marketing and finance, I mean, literally everything will be digital within the next 10 years. Before we're 60 years of age, everything will be digital. I believe cash will be a rarity. I believe that people that have cash will be considered above the game. And I just think it's going to be a digital. I think we're becoming to be in the digital world. And with that being said, these blockchains, which are also smart chains that hold billions and billions and zillions of data, are going to be the new thing moving forward. As a matter of fact, you have majority of the banks, if not all the banks and credit unions now, are using blockchains. They're using smart chains. How do you think you get a monthly bank statement every month? Because they use the smart chain blockchain method. And again, you can agree to disagree with that. That's fine, but the proof is in the pudding. I've literally talked to B of A, Bank of America, for those that don't know, and literally asked the finance department, you know, how do you issue out and produce monthly banking statements to all of your customers? And they literally said through a smart chain, which is a blockchain. I mean, it's so fascinating. You know, it's so fascinating. And I think, you know, again, that's where we are in this time. You know, we're moving into that digital world. We're getting closer and closer to everything being digital. And I believe that hackers worldwide are grinding their teeth and licking their lips and licking their fingers because they're already experienced within that space. We're not. And so by everything becoming digital, you will have 600 billion in 2 to 3 years that has been stolen from people. Okay. Now, with some type of regulation worldwide, there's training and understanding that comes with knowing how to operate digitally. But we're just not at that point yet. And I believe, again, as investors, we all are taking chances. We're all taking these chances that we know what we're doing and that we can avoid being hacked, being robbed, you know, electronically, because that's basically what it is. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had hackers try to attempt to hack my cryptocurrency hard wallets that I have. And I'm just like, nah, you know, two-way authentication doesn't really work. You know, for my listeners out here that are listening, really paying attention, the two-way authentication does not really work, people, okay? They're pitfalls and loopholes and everything, and that is a major entity of it. And the reason I think it is because of the fact that we're not regulated. And so because there's no regulation in place, how can an entity like Google really protect us? How can Google security really protect us?
I'd like to interject. So my point is, I don't think we're ever totally going to be safe in any of the digital age, because there is the ability to circumnavigate these entities. And it's always been the case. Most people are not aware, but they are typically, if you have an email address, if you do any online banking, if you do any online bill pay, if you do anything, searches on the internet, you pretty much are ripe for some form of hacking. And it's a daily thing. And a lot of people don't know that there are attempts on them to be hacked. Sometimes you see it as junk mail. Sometimes you see it as just, you know, a message in your inbox. And you're like, don't know what that is. You delete it. A lot of times those are attempts to hack your information. And because I have worked very closely with IT professionals in the workspaces that I've been in, from transportation to logistics to production entities, they showed me the amount of attempts on a daily basis just coming into a corporate organization to steal IP. So if there, and here's the thing, this is the funniest thing. Some of the third world countries, some of the places that we think are behind, are probably more advanced because their inner workings is theft. So they're thinking every day how to swindle, how to fool you, how to fish you, how to get ahead of you, because that's their main way of making money. So most of these countries that you visit, they are making money off of tourism and theft. So That was like extremely important that I wanted to convey that. But like today I was going through my emails and I had literally 12, because I can read the attempts, 12 attempts from entities that I deal with that are being used as hacking points. So let me give you an example. Walgreens was one. Best Buy was one. These are hacking attempts. Let's see, Synchrony Bank, that was an attempt. And the things came in and they go, you've been selected to provide feedback as a recent shopper. We're offering you the opportunity to receive $100 gift card for answering some questions regarding your recent purchases. So A, they're watching transactions. We don't really, you know, think of this in our day-to-day lives, that a transaction that I'm doing on the internet, surfing that I'm doing on the internet, you know, TikTok videos that I'm watching, these things are prone to be intercepted by hackers because they look at activity, they look at, you know, your, you know, certain things you do. And I looked at all of these things and I'm like, I don't know how the hell they knew this, but their target is to get you because what are we drawn to? We're drawn to receiving something, right? So they're pitching, receive a gift card. The average person may not think much about it. So you click the survey and they got access to your computer because you've basically clicked the link, right? So now they're grabbing data from your computer. But then they say, hey, here's this gift card. You got to complete it by 5 minutes, blah, blah, blah. That's what's on the screen. I'm telling you because I've went through it. And then it's like accept. So you accept, and then you start putting in your personal data, thinking that that's triggering you to get the gift card, which is nothing more than a, you know, a scam. And so these attempts are daily. And there are so many people that get got. They do get some of their money back, but a lot of people don't. Because most of the time they're preying on elderly people. They're preying on people that don't realize that their bank account has been compromised. They won't recognize it for a few days. So the technology, and I kind of got off point just a bit just to say that we're never going to be protected. I don't care what anybody tells you because everything can be circumnavigated. They can, you know, build backwards what they're building forward. And if they could build it backwards, they have a way to get in. And so all of these places that are saying, hey, your wallet is secure, blah, 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 one slip up of possibly emailing yourself your passwords, one slip up of saving it on your computer, one slip up of, you know, sending it in an Excel document, all can be compromised. And because banks get stolen from every day. There's just every form of theft possible. Like the biggest thing to me that most people started realizing, maybe 10, 12 years ago, the chips that are in the credit cards, that was old technology because maybe it was more than 12 years ago, but I heard about it about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago in Europe. They were doing it to stop theft because credit cards were being, you know, used as, you know, where people would, you know, get their stuff stolen. And the big thing was, I can remember back in the day when they used to, you know, take a credit card and they would, you know, swipe it across. And there was like this black piece of paper or whatever it was, carbon copy. And people would go back and get the carbon copies and then get your bank stuff and be able to use your credit card. That was old. That was back in the day. And I can remember my mom used to always go, hey, I need my carbon copy. I want that, you know, just because she was trying to be ahead of the game. But these people were years ahead of us with this. So, yeah, they made us feel a little bit more safe putting the chip in there. They're still doing the same stuff that they were doing before the chips were in there with the chips in there. So it's just digital age is a double-edged sword. It's a great thing because everything's here and now and fast and instantaneously, but it's also easy to be, you know, intercepted. It's easy to be stolen and, you know, that's the other side of it. So for all of its great things, there's bad.
I don't mean to laugh, but basically being duped in the worst possible way. But, you know, and I feel exactly, and I totally agree with you. I also wanted to address and just get your insight on, you know, what's your outtake on the questionable collapse of Kanye West, also known as Ye. Now, within the past couple of months, this brother has gone through. I mean, he has gone through a whirlwind of fire with different quotes that he's made in the media towards, you know, the Jewish community being blamed for anti-Semitism, as well as his own African-American community, where he stated that slavery was a choice, for us as a people, as a culture, that slavery was our own choice. A, B, that Harriet Tubman was not who she was, as well as Rosa Parks. He had a comment in the past about Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, as well as Sojourner Truth, who also worked with abolitionists back in those times to free blacks from the South and bring them to the North. With that being said, last but not least, his derogatory comments towards the late George Floyd and the fact that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose.
Allegedly,
and not by the hands of the City of Minnesota Police Department. So with that being said, what's your outtake on this, brother? Because we're talking about, you know, in 2020, Kanye West, formerly, you know, Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, was allegedly worth a gross of about $10 billion with his Yeezy brand, collaborating with Adidas, Balenciaga, Gap. He was also had, you know, just ties with other conglomerates, the big talent agency out in LA, CAA, talent agency, which is the main talent agency in the nation as far as discovering talent for right. Pretty much anything, music, acting, you name it, CAA Corporation is behind it all. With that being said, what's your take on that? Because do you think he was affected? And by him being affected by this, do you believe that our culture, the African-American, the black culture, was also took a hit as regards to his actions?
So one man's actions don't speak for the masses. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a small measure of, you know, the thought process. But I'd like to dial into a little bit of my particular perspective. I met Kanye some 20 plus years ago when I was working heavily in the music industry, promoting my own, before they were a thing, video podcasts. And so that's the flip thing. So I met him and it was a brief meeting. He was at a Lil' Kim release party that was downtown Chicago. And at the time when I met him, he was extremely humble. He was really just getting his break. I think he had produced a song for a couple of songs that were on Jay-Z's album. And he was just being recognized at that point as a producer. That was what he was at the event for, as an established producer. And at that time, I thought that he was, you know, extremely talented. I still think he's extremely talented. But he hadn't had the evolution of who he is today. So let's speak to who he is today. Today, Kanye West had probably been as successful as many people would love to be in their lifetime. Having number ones produced, having number one albums produced, effectively having these partnerships that created, you know, a net worth in the billion register. All right. So all that's great. What started to be what to me personally a downward spiral was becoming overly involved in the space of public communication. Like, every celebrity does not need to be a voice on a platform. Like, sometimes it's what they say, and this is one of his arguments. I'm bigger than my music. I'm bigger than all that. And that's great. But sometimes your personal opinions don't have a platform or need to be on a platform that might diminish everything else that you've built. So that's why some people shun away from politics. Like a lot of people, they have questionable statements about Michael Jordan. Like, Mike don't say nothing. Mike doesn't get involved. But Mike does, but Mike doesn't, if you follow what I'm saying. So there's a lot of things that Michael Jordan does, but there's a lot of things that Michael Jordan does not do. And why? He protects his brand. His brand is worth billions, and he recognizes that. And so there's a lot of work that you can do behind the scenes that doesn't need to be done in front of the scenes. And why? Because those billions you make still create opportunities, still do things, still are building. They build bridges. Kanye West effectively, in the same vein, has taken his public platform and became an enemy to a lot of people that have power. And so some people say, well, that's the problem in itself. But you cannot change a system overnight that has been doing what it's been doing for hundreds of years. So this whole thing about attacking people of Jewish religion, heritage, descent, attacking that has never boded well for many people in my lifetime of seeing people. They have always had a negative reflection or a negative impact where it comes back that, hey, before cancel culture was a thing, you were blackballed. And that's what most people did. They became blackballed when they spoke against, you know, people of Jewish religion, culture, heritage. And I think
I'm sorry, can you answer a question?
I'm gonna sum it up real quick and give it back to you. So in essence, no, Kanye West does not affect us all as a people with his rhetoric, but Kanye West does significantly diminish himself to some regard financially by these what I call bite-sized truths that become they become lost in translation when they aren't backed up by more substance. So like it's like I may know a dirty secret about you, and it might be an old dirty secret, but it's not the whole totality of you. So people that know you are going to come to your defense, and they're going to say that bite-sized truth, maybe it has some relative sense in some degree, but that's not who he is. That's not who Pedro Thomas is. So, no, I can't agree with you. And in my sense of, you know, understanding what this whole downward spiral, I don't know if it was inflicted, self-inflicted, that this is his way of getting out of his contractual obligations and wanting to do something different, or if it was truly what I feel is burning bridges, self-inflicted damage that you can't undo because you refused to undo it when it was at a point where you could. You feel me? So you waited too late to apologize, and you're sticking by the standards of what you feel is your truth and walking in it. Hey, there's going to be a lot of people to say I stand with him in that regard because he's standing in his truth. But on the same vein, these people will not stand with you through it all. They're not going to stand with you when everything is gone and you become just like them. And that's where you have to separate what you want to accomplish with money versus just having a purpose, because we're no longer walking in million man marches. We're no longer, you know, doing the things that made enough movement, right? Nobody's banned Adidas. Nobody's canceled Adidas. People are still rocking Adidas. Nobody's canceled Balenciaga. They're still rocking Balenciaga. So
nobody's canceled shopping at Gap. Shopping
correct.
At the Gap.
Correct.
As well as nobody's banned anything, any purchases or anything from Amazon.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I think that's a major thing. If I'm not mistaken, Jeff Bezos is of the Jewish community, is a product of the Jewish community, to some degree. So with that, it's basically like you know, it's another version of a head scratcher. It's like, okay, help me understand this. Help me understand how this is flowing. You know, usually when water flows down in a, you know, when water flows, it usually flows downward.
Right.
In a stream, you know, a river, stream, what have you, ocean, lake, whatever water entity. But it usually flows downward. And it seems that if individuals like Ye, individuals like Kyrie Irving.
Who has since apologized. I just want to say that Kyrie did come back.
Right. And speaking on the brother Kyrie, Kyrie has allegedly apologized 2 to 3 times,
right,
as well as given a half million dollar charitable gift to the National Jewish Council.
Right.
So again, I'm, you know, call me stupid, call me slow, call me uninformed, but I just don't understand where our culture, the black culture, when we are ridiculed, we have so much power that we can shut down by not purchasing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can literally do major damage to distribution companies, to marketing companies, and retail companies that feed off of our dollars. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, if I'm saying anything out of bounds, let me know. But
you're correct.
I'm of belief that if you look at the statistics, black African Americans spend the most money, multiple billions on distribution, multiple billions on retail, multiple billions on marketing. And what do we get back for that? Like what do we get out of that in return? What do we receive in return? Oh, we receive thank you very much for operation, or thank you for your business. That's what we receive. We may receive 1 or 2 or 3 accolades along with that. But that's about it. When it really boils down to nitty-gritty, what are we really getting at? You know, where's it beneficial for us? And I just don't see it. Now, these two individuals have completely been kind of shut down by the Jewish community, being blamed of being anti-Semitic and actually not. Again, this is a, you know, this is Stop Talk with Pedro podcast show. We basically talk about finance. However, in this particular instance, I'm just going to go there. Basically, blacks or African Americans, as we are considered to the rest of the world, we are the original Jews. We are the original Hebrew Jews that the Bible speaks of, people of color. That's us. So I'm not really understanding how can any of us, any person of color, be anti-Semitic when talks about us. I'm just really, you know, I mean, where history has it, I mean, and this is fact. This is not fiction. This is not opinion. These are facts that the Bible that's been written, rewritten many times over, but still cannot ignore the fact that the people in the Bible, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, originally, or of Egypt, were black, were people of color. And so I just don't understand how in that same breath, anybody of color could be anti-Semitic. I just don't get, I don't believe any of us are anti-Semitic because the Bible's talking about us, about our heritage. I mean, our deep-rooted heritage, not your family heritage going back in it. No. I'm talking about deep-rooted heritage before Christ. We talking about 600 BC, okay? Those individuals, the Pharisees, the Ramses, kings and queens were all of color. They were not Caucasian. They weren't of pale. They didn't have a pale complexion. They had a colored complexion with pigmentation. That's a person of color. So again, I just wanted to add that into there because, you know, you got individuals like Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, even LeBron James that did not come to the defense of any of these individuals that we're speaking of on tonight's show. They basically shunned them, you know. And again, I can't understand why, outside of it was just a money thing. It was protecting the bag. Because again, in the end, those individuals have exposed that the Jewish community totally controls the entire bag. I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so, like, to go back into, like, the whole reason that Kyrie, Kanye, got into the trouble that they got into, I think a lot is lost in translation, right? So,
I agree.
And this is what I mean by bite-sized truths. Right. So there's bite-sized truths and people hear one thing and interpret it as another. So Semitic definitely refers to people of color. But people think the word anti-Semitic in the terminology that it is being used in is meaning that you can't be anti-black because you're black or whatever. We got to look at the words. We got to look at when they say anti-Semitic, they are not saying anti-black or people of Hebrew or whatever. They're talking about Jewish faith people.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we get lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish faith people are, and Jewish ethnicity people are not necessarily the same. You can convert to Judaism and be Jewish. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. There's half baked truths. And that's from a whole, that will be another show that we need to get into. And here's what I'm going to say. I want to say that sometimes we latch onto trends. We latch onto things that sound great without doing the research. That's problem number one of people of color, because there's a group of us that love drama. There's a group of us that love to see a fight. There's a group of us that chant for the person that's fighting without knowing what that person is truly fighting for. That's just like when you see people, when you see they're rioting. You may not know what the damn riot is for, but you join in and you get caught up in something that you know don't even know what it is. So
Correct. We
have to be better stewards of knowledge. We need to learn what we're talking about fully and not just latch on to a trend or a bite-sized truth, because bite-sized truths only create more divisive behavior because we don't really know what we're talking about, but it sounds good. And here's the one thing that I got to say about Kanye West. The loudest man in the room is not always the smartest man in the room. And so it's just like when you grew up in Chicago like me, you know, you had the religious zealots that would be on the corner downtown with the speaker and people have opinion. That man may be speaking his truth, but it may not be the total truth. Cause I walk past him, you going to hell. You ain't saved. You going to hell. You know, that's his truth. That may not be my truth. He don't know me. He doesn't know my connection with God. He doesn't know my background. He knows his truth. But a lot of times people will walk past and say, what? He crazy, right? Because he's yelling something that he believes to be the truth and it is his truth, but it may not be the truth, period. It may not be the truth as it applies to you. You may be of another faith. You may not believe in the same God that he believes in. But
now, could it also be that we? Could it also be, DJ Innovator, that we don't know how to mind our own business as a culture? In a lot of ways,
but I want to say that sometimes we'll latch onto some bullshit and ride with it because it's controversial. It's convenient. It's ratchet. It's ratchet.
Doesn't have anything to do with But at the end of the day, those individuals that take quantum leaps into that.
Right.
Do you believe that it has anything necessarily directly to do with this?
No, no. And we got it. You got to latch on to why is Kanye West now mad at these people that he's been sleeping in the bed with, both literally and business. Now, why is he mad? Is it mad because he made a bad deal? Is it he mad now because he doesn't have the control that he wants? Now, he technically had the wealth to do way more than anybody in our lifetime could do, right? And I'm not minimizing people in your family, not minimizing people in my family, but he had a lot of net worth, and to some degree, he had a lot of money on paper. And that's another thing that, you know, we talked about because people were giving Kanye West the $1 billion status that was truly not there because in a lot of regards, they can't determine true net worth without looking at all assets. You know that in finance, all assets had to be put up there. So some of that was paper worth, you know, because, hey, this deal, because this company makes so much money and because he has a partnership with them, they're estimating it. That's why the man was yelling so many times, Forbes ain't put me on the list. Forbes ain't put me on the list. And at some point, he got his wish. And as soon as he got his wish, it's gone. Because loudest man in the room is not always the smartest man in the room.
I agree. Now, with Kyrie, it was my opinion that nothing wrong with reposting something. Okay?
Nope.
But when you repost something with no commentary behind it to explain why you're reposting that, that's where things went left, in my opinion, for him. When you post something, usually when people do a repost, they usually add a little commentary in the beginning and or the end of the post just to say, well, you know, well, again, if somebody reposts something about music, you know, usually what you'll see in asterisks is I don't own the rights to this. I don't own the copyrights to this music. I always see that all over social media. Okay.
And Kyrie became a victim of association because the context of what he posted was in the same vein of the ideology that Kanye West is, you know, now, you know, being looked at upon. And let me tell you this, and I say this a lot of times, we're going to wrap up real soon. The powers that be are the powers that be, and they can't change that overnight. And that's to say, in the last few days, have you not started seeing more anti-Kanye West articles about him exposing employees to nude pictures and, you know, things like that? Like, there's what I call the stories to not only defame you further, but to like really put you under a different magnifying glass, because I think somewhere in there that Kanye West was in the possibility of suing Adidas somewhere in there because of the way that they abruptly ended his deal. And I don't know if there was a morality clause, because if there was, then that kind of negates some things. But now there's this story that's hitting the airwaves that Adidas personnel were subject to certain things that he was doing. Now, why is that coming out now? See what I'm saying? Why is it a story now?
Right.
And that goes into, when I say the powers that be, there are powerful entities and people. So there was the bite-sized truth, but you know, you can't be picking a fight with Goliath if you're not David. If you're not David, don't pick that fight with Goliath, because you may not be able to win that battle. So you woke up a monster when you came out and said you're going DEFCON on these people, and you did not fix that statement immediately.
Okay,
and I know that we had people in this corner that said, yay, hey, bro, no.
Right.
And what did he get on TV and say? They can't control me. They control Jay. They control Beyonce. Now these are all his peers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying they can shut y'all up, but y'all can't shut me up. And again, the loudest man in the room.
That's not always the smartest man.
Not always the smartest, and may not even be totally right. You may have some of it.
But hold on. May also not be totally wrong either.
Correct.
There's a catch 22.
There's a fine line. There's a fine line, but there's a fine line in everything.
I agree.
And you're married like I'm married. There's some battles that you take the L because it's not worth having disruption in your household and your family. And so sometimes you got to figure out a better way of doing something. And you do that. You take the L and you're like, okay, there's a better way that I can handle this so that we got peace. And so you can be wrong, but you can be right. And you can be right and you can be wrong. And you got to know. Go ahead.
But why do we always turn the other cheek, though, as a culture compared to other cultures?
Well, we've always been that people.
I'm asking in your opinion, and that's how we're going to end this show for tonight. Is I would like to know, in your opinion, why is it that our culture is more prone to turn the other cheek?
Because I can tell you real quickly, we're a spiritual people. We're a spiritual people. We connect closely with God. In any instance, in any religion, we are strong believers in what we believe in. And that's why we always go down fighting, because we believe in what we believe in. And hey, maybe Ye believes in what he believes in. And you can see that no one is convincing him otherwise. And I know that the conversations are being held, but he feels he has a truth. And I'll go into that. And, you know, another podcast, we're going to talk about being woke. We're going to talk about DMT. That's a whole nother podcast that I think we need to get into too. And again, the whole podcast is based on financial literacy, but also bringing our culture more to the table in front of many other topics.
Agreed. And folks, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope everybody got full off of their turkey and dressing and stuffing, if you so choose to fix that, macaroni and cheese and the whole nine, sweet potato over pumpkin pie. I don't understand pumpkin, but I do understand sweet potato. With that being said, DJ Innovator on the ones and twos, myself, Pedro Thomas. We are Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show. And we are out. Have a good evening.
Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show is sponsored by PNT Multimedia Group and Publishing LLC. Well, now that you've heard our very first episode of Stock Talk with Pedro, I want to let you in on something coming real soon. It's the world relaunch of WorldNet Radio, hosted by me, DJ Innovator. What you'll be getting is some of the best music from around the world from independent artists, a lot of contests, and a lot of giveaways. It'll be launching real soon here on the network. Stay tuned.